quivering tongue lie silent in the grave.
Good singing, man. Well, we have a special today. The young man coming to visit us this morning, Connor. Are you ready to go? Connor came here to visit special somebody today. So this is kind of an interview process for Connor, getting to know Gabby Bell and the family. So any questions you want to ask Connor right now, Doc, while he's behind the...
Not enough.
Connor's dad's a pastor in Georgia, and I'm not sure about the Georgia people. I'm surrounded by a few of them. But Connor's what do you call it? Harmonicaist?
Sure.
Whatever you want to call it. He's going to play a song for us today.
Sure.
Thanks, Connor. Amen. All we need was a banjo and a washboard and some spoons and a few. That was a one-man band show right there as well, but in the sweet by and by. Amen. If you didn't catch the song, that's what it was. All right, brother, we're looking forward to getting to the preaching this morning. So if you get your Bibles out, get them ready. And looking forward to be challenged as men from the Word of God, that we could be the man of God that God has intended for us to be. And so, Brother James, would you come and preach to us this morning, please?
All right, it's good to be here this morning. I'll go ahead and turn squawk box on. But 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 26, I want to try to help us this morning. The Lord gave me this thought this morning, or not this morning, but what I'm going to speak on this morning from my Bible reading recently, and just want to try to help us, because one thing that is under attack today is manhood, masculinity. And if we're not careful, we're going to succumb to the pressures of this day and age instead of stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. That's part of life, is standing up. It is taking a stand. Because if you don't, Shasta High, if you don't stand your ground on that line, who's going to get creamed? The QB. And he's not going to be too happy about that. He's going to maybe say something to your face. And anyway, not that he could ever do anything. You guys just pummel him to death. But he sure likes to think he's all that in a bag of chips. But we know where all the real work comes from. Right, Brother JB? Brother JB and I used to play football back in the day. Wishy-washiness in a way of in a world where we don't know who's what and what's what. The truth is the truth, and the Bible gives us so many things in His Word to help us to be able to stand. And this passage of Scripture, we'll get right into the message this morning, the lesson. The Bible says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." And the message today is simple: how to have the touch of God. And in addition to that, it's just simple addition. And we're going to leave this passage of Scripture and go to another passage of Scripture, but this is the springboard, if you will. A pastor needs men in the church that will challenge him. Not necessarily challenge him and that's wrong, pastor, but challenge him in the way that, "Hey, pastor, I saw this in the Word of God. What does this mean? Or I had a problem with this here. I wasn't understanding." Challenging. What man doesn't like to be challenged? I bet you I could, if I said it to any of these guys, I'll race you after church today. Church shoes and all. You'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'll do it." Why? Everyone likes a challenge. Men like a challenge. Why? Because we need to conquer. That's what God has instilled into us. And these men whose heart were touched by God to help Saul do what he needed to do in his kingdom. Well, the same thing for a pastor. He needs men in the church to help him, pastor, to shepherd, to lead. Why? Because each man of his home is shepherding his home and doing it God's way. Every church needs men that will challenge the pastor, encourage the pastor. When the pastor is preaching and he's laying it out and he's maybe stepping on some toes, that's the great time to say, "You know what? Amen, preacher. That's good. I need that." Right? We're always good about, "He needs that. He's the one that messed that up." We're real good at pointing fingers, but remember, every time you point fingers, you got three of them coming right back at you. So my kids are like, "This is what they do. You know, it was him. It was him." No, it's understood that it's always this. All right. So understand, we need to encourage him. Why? Because we need to be here. Number one, we need to be here for ourselves, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. Your pastor needs to see you in church just as much as God needs to see you in church. He needs to see men in church. Nothing worse than coming to a church and having all ladies. I'm sorry. Ladies are great and they're awesome and they have the place just like God has men in their place. Ladies have a special place. Man, if it weren't for my mama, I wouldn't be here. I mean, come on now. Mamas are great. Mamas are awesome. My mama is the best cook besides my wife. They're right there neck and neck. Man alive, you better believe if she hears about that. No, she is a good cook. Why do you think I married her? Anyway. But we need to encourage him in our presence. We need to encourage him with our voice. We need to encourage him. We need to stand guard over our pastor. It needs to be like he needs to, "Hey, you're his bodyguards." Understand, we need to stand guard. Somebody comes in and they want to do harm to our church and do harm to the name of God or whatever it might be. We should be standing up, not pastor, saying, "Hey, you need to go." The pastor shouldn't have that. There should be at least 5 or 10 guys that are like, "Sir, we don't, no, ma'am, we're not doing that here." We need to stand guard over our pastor. We need to stand guard. We need to not only stand guard, but we need to protect him. That means we need to say, "Hey, you're not going to talk to our pastor like that. You're not going to talk to about our church like that." We need to protect. That's what men do. A man, when you become a husband, you're going to be the protector of your home. Your lady shouldn't be doing it. All right? Now, if you're a deep sleeper like I am, she might have to, but get her a good one, like a Sig or, you know, or whatever it is. Give her an Uzi, whatever she needs. Just point and just Lay it out, honey. It's okay. I'll wake up when everything's done. No, but we got to stand guard. Not only do we need to stand guard, but we need to protect. And then most importantly, we need to pray. We need to have men that pray for their pastor. Why? Because the pastor is under attack. If the pastor can be dislodged, then where are the sheep going to go? Right? The Bible refers to the pastor as the shepherd and the keeper. And if the shepherd's gone, guess what? Wolves get to play. And if we're not careful, we're going to be doing our own thing. And if we're not careful, not praying for our pastor, guess what? Trouble could come in his heart and his life. And troubles can come via Satan and different things that come about and troubles. And everyone has troubles and trials and everything. But we should be praying one for another. And how are we going to have the touch of God upon our life? It's simple math. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter. Got that one wrong. 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to get right into the lesson. 2 Peter chapter number 1. It really is simple math. How many like math? Right? I mean, not many guys do. That's how it is. I enjoy math. I do enjoy it to a certain extent, and then it can hurt my head. And I'm like, man, let me go throw something. Let me go shoot something. Let me go destroy something. And get my mind off of this and then come back to it. But in 2 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible gives us some things in our life, in our heart, that we can use so that we can have the touch of God. Why? So that as these men that were with Saul, God touched their lives, we can have a life that is touched of God as well. You're there in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Go ahead and hold your place there and go to John chapter number 1. Hold your place there. Go to John chapter number 1. Before we could ever have the touch of God upon our life, one thing is most important and the most important in our life, and that is salvation. And we're going to see why that's important. Verse number 12 is where we'll start reading. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's a semicolon there, continuation of thought. And so we'll read verse number 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, if you ever desire or want to ever have the desire of God, the touch of God upon your life, you must be made of God. And we are all made in the image of God, but we must receive Christ. It says here, we become the sons of God. The Bible says there in verse number 12, that he gave power to become the sons of God. See, there is no self-made man. There's no self-made someone that has risen to importance and rise in life without God having a part and a hand in that. Understand, we see here, it's not of blood, in verse number 13, nor of the will of the flesh, that's my, what I think, what I can do, what I can muster up, nor of the will of man, someone else helping me, but of God. See, the touch of God only comes through God and from God. And so if you want to have the touch of God and you want to be the man of God for Shasta Baptist Church that you need to be, not only for the church, but for your family, we're going to need to start adding some things. You're there in 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, you're holding your place. So salvation, knowing for sure that without of a shadow of doubt that you would have eternity in a place called heaven. If you don't know that for sure, you'll never have the touch of God. But when you do know that, and you have these things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you know that you have eternal life, then you can know that you can have the touch of God upon your life, and you can experience it for yourself. This isn't the Old Testament where we have to wait for a priest to offer our sacrifices unto the Lord. We can come to boldly before the throne of grace, and Hebrews tells us that He's a better sacrifice. He's a better priest. He's better than the angels. He's better. God is better. And Christ is the centerpiece, if you will, of our salvation. And God gives us that power to become the sons of God because He made us. And He saves us, and He keeps us. But He tells us in His Word in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's go ahead and start reading. Let's go with verse number 1. We'll just start here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. See, Peter right here acknowledging who it was that got him to where he is. Jesus Christ and God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, comma, continuation of thought, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Continuation of thought. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Aren't you glad that we have some promises from God and that can never change? Promises that will never fail. Promises that will never absolve or have a limitation or a time cap on them. I just got something in the mail the other day about you could win lots of money because somebody did something against you and there's a class action. Well, you know what? There's a time limit to be able to file a claim or no time restraints on the promises of God. And we see here that the promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. See right there, lust, what you can't have, but we want to have. Guys, that's it in a nutshell. What we are lustful. We lust after money, we lust after women, we lust after wine, we lust after power, we lust so many things. But God is telling us here that He's given us the power to get over that, to partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, here it is, addition, add. Simple math. My daughter can add, can you? Let's look at some things this morning that we need to add in our life. The Bible says here that besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Faith, as we know in Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is whereby by faith, Enoch, by faith, Moses, by faith, Abraham, by faith, and us, by faith, trusting in Christ. See, by faith, it all starts with that first point, salvation. See, the Bible says that He gives to every man a measure of faith. What we do with that faith is ours. That's why you can believe in evolution, and I can't do anything about it. Why? Because it's the faith that God gave to you, and you can put it wherever you want it. You can put it in yourself. You can put it in another man. That's what you're doing with evolution. You're putting it into Darwin and what his thoughts were. Our family just went on vacation on the coast, and what a wonderful, beautiful, majestic mountain range and all the different things. And simply put, God. Just as much faith as it says that it took millions and millions of years, it actually takes more faith to believe something came from nothing than it says that God, who is above all, in all, and through you all, spoke it. Takes more faith. And there's evidence in not only in Scripture, but in things. But we see here, back to the subject, and that adding to our faith. That. People looting. People, living, shacking up together, not following God. That you're not supposed to touch a woman. But when you're married, there's nothing undefiled between you and your wife when it's done in the bedroom. See, God has a place for everything. Satan has a place for everything too, and you could do it wherever you want. but you don't get to choose the consequences. You don't get to choose to not father that child from that illegitimate relationship that you had. You don't get a choice on that. Well, nowadays, again, high moral standard, virtue, and not using your thoughts, but using God's word. I will not be tempted with my eyes to look upon, as Job would say, to look upon a maid to lust after her. I will not touch booze. I will not do drugs. I will be honest. I will tell the truth. I will own up to my mistakes. Some things that you will do, you need to add to your faith. That salvation that God gave to you, God wants you to add to that faith of salvation. He wants you to add virtue, high moral standards. Now, again, no one's perfect, but we need to establish in our lives high moral standards. Add to our faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Well, where does knowledge come from? Well, it comes from God. It begins with God. It begins with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you really want to know something, having a proper reverence and fear for God will get you on the right track. Proverbs chapter, I know it all, even though that's how we are sometimes, especially when we're younger, we think we know it all. And then we get, in our 20s, past our 20s, because we still know it all in our 20s too. 25, 26, 27, 28, and it's like, the shade has coming up over our eye. Wow, I really don't know squat. I don't know diddly. And I don't know anything for you. High moral standards. I will not be peer pressured into doing something I don't want to do. Peer pressure is there. It's real. If we were to go around the room and every single one of us has someone ever offered you something that was not right? And every single one of us probably could have. And were you in front of a whole bunch of people with your friends and your buddies? Every one of you probably would say yes. Why? Because peer pressure is there. But having virtue in your life knocks peer pressure out of the way. It's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Oh, because your mommy said? Because I said. Because God's word says. You got to stand on something, guys. Might as well stand on God's word. Because you know what? If you don't have God's word, then you don't have salvation. You don't have salvation, what are you doing? Living a life, trying to make it the best as possible. Well, God doesn't want us to make it the best as possible. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant. God wants you to have an abundant life, not because you can do a quick rich, get rich scheme. You give to God and he's going to give you over the prayer of Jabez. No. It takes work. Addition, it takes work. Math is work. Math is hard work. And he says, add your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And that knowledge comes from God. Fact, information, skill acquired by a person through experience or education. See, guys, you don't know it all, so you need to find someone that does know more than you and say, hey, how do I do this? How do I walk with God? Maybe you don't have a mom or a dad that walks with God and you need to find a pastor or another man in the church that you respect and you say, hey, how do you walk with God? Knowledge. Do you want to add to your faith? Do you want to add to your virtue? Do you want to add to your knowledge? Well, you got to do some work. It's simple math. It's just plus, plus, plus. But if you take out the plus signs, you got a whole bunch of gibberish. 1 plus 5 plus 7 plus 9 plus 10 plus, that adds up to something, but 1, 5, 7, what am I saying? God's word tells us that we need to add to our knowledge temperance. The quality of moderation and self-restraint, that is one thing that lacks in young people, self-restraint. A lot of times when you challenge someone on, you're addicted to your cell phone. No, I'm not. Okay, give it to me. Come back and get it in a month. If you're not addicted to it, then you won't care to miss it for a month. Don't watch that TV show. Don't watch that YouTube, that TikTok. Don't follow that person for a month. rubber meets the road. I can smell it. Burning rubber right now. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about is what I have to deal with in my own life as well. Temperance, the quality of moderation, self-restraint. All we have are a bunch of boys running around saying that they are owed something and they got to have this and they got, don't tell your mom or dad that they owe you a pair of shoes. Get off your backside and get a job and get some money. I pay for my own insurance. I pay for my own gas. I pay for repairs and things on my car. Why? Because I was a man. Moderation, self-restraint. I didn't go buy a car I couldn't afford. I didn't wear a 120. Now, if you work and you want to spend your money on a 200, now they used to be, Jordans used to be like 120. That was how far back. We're talking about the 80s now. The real goat. Anyway, we won't go there. Anyway, understand if we're really talking business, it's Pistol Pete. But anyway, you guys, most of these guys don't even know who that is. Anyway, back on track. Understand moderation, self-restraint. Tell yourself no. No, I'm not going to go over to that friend's house because I know what's going to happen. No to that friend that influences you to do things and you always seem to get in trouble with them. No. Men, whatever it is, your vice, everyone has something that they are challenged with. Self-restraint. Paul said that he didn't want anything to have control over his body. Understand, what do we add to our temperance? Patience. That's one thing that Pastor Johnson always said, don't pray for patience. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. But patience does have its perfect work. There is a point where patience is profitable. But boy, oh boy, it is going to cost you. Because that's what patience is. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay. What guy doesn't want it now? Fix my AC now. Give me my burger now. Give me my hot dog now. Patience. Tolerate. To tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without getting upset or angry. Godliness. Having a verse. Verse number 6. After that, patience is godliness. Add to patience godliness. That is that reverence of God, doing things that are godly, godlike. What you talk about when you're around your friends, is it godly? Because the Bible says that we're supposed to add to our patience godliness, the act of bringing reverence to God. I'm sorry, can't bring God, I'm desecrating this temple with cancer, your temple, by the way. Because I'm bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Drinking it up. Understand, what we take and what we put in our bodies is important. And it is right to godliness. What's after that? Brotherly kindness. The quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate to a fellow brother. A deep familial love and affection between believers, similar to that of siblings. Right? Understand, brother, it's thicker. Thicker than blood. Thicker than blood is what the... But we need to have that in our church. Why? Because grievous wolves are going to come in and try to split and divide men in the church against men and other men in the church. And if we're not careful... Our brotherly kindness, our generosity, that, oh, man, we'll drop everything for our brother, but we'll drop everything for our brother in Christ. We should. Brotherly love. Man, you got a problem? Somebody calls you at 1 a.m, man, brother, I'm really struggling with this right now. Can you help me? Oh, no, man, I'm too tired. No, I'm going. Where is it? I'll be there. Why? Brotherly kindness. demonstration of love through acts of service, encouragement, and support of a willingness to forgive, bear one another's burdens. The Bible says bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Which the law of Christ we know is loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And then the second is likened to the first, which is loving our neighbor as ourself. Every neighbor should be as far as somebody that we love, care, and have concern for. Understand, with that brotherly kindness is this next one that guys hate to talk about, charity, love. Ooh. But see, that's the problem. We're immature because we really don't know what love is. Because nowadays it's really like, I like that. Oh, I love, man, I can't wait to give me some triple animal style fries. I love In-N-Out. You may like In-N-Out, but you don't love it. When were you there at 2 in the morning when the electricity went out and you were trying to get it back on for them? When were you there when it flooded in the back room and you were in the back there mopping it up? I'm sorry, you weren't there. You like it. You may like it a lot, and you may have a problem with the temperance there. But you may love Hershey candy bar, and it may love you back by adding a few pounds on. But it's not love. It's like. See, the Bible tells us what charity is. Let's go ahead and turn there, and we're finishing up just right on time here. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the love chapter. We talked about it in our home builders class about guys expressing, saying, I love you. Oh, I show up. I go to work. I get up and I do this and I do that. But you never, yes, you demonstrate it, but it needs to come out of your mouth. I love you. To your kids, to your wife. It needs to come out. Charity. Let's look at what charity is. Well, first off, 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1 says, charity edifieth. To lift up. Are your words, what you say to other men, do they edify? Do they lift up or are they tearing it down? That's what a lot of guys do. Oh, I can do that better. Oh, you're such a sissy. There's a moment and a time for challenging and all those things, but when the rubber meets the road, when the real conversation's happening, is it edifying? 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses 4, 5, and 6. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Yeah, you can't handle this. That's not charity. That's not love. That's pride, but it's not love. Doth not behave itself unseemly, that which is wrong, that which is improper, that which is good. You love that girl, guys? Don't do anything unseemly. Don't be kissing her. Don't be smooching on her. Don't be all doing all kinds of different things with her. And that goes for every guy in here. Better be your wife. Not some other woman either. Unseemly. That's not, I love my wife. Yeah, said no. I don't think so. You didn't love her. You lusted. You didn't love her. Charity, it doesn't do anything unseemly. What does it say here? Seeketh not her own. Selfless. When was the last time you did something for someone else without desiring anything in response? Mom, can I have 20 bucks? I'll do it. Mom, I cleaned up my room. Can I have 20 bucks? Mom, I mowed the grass. Can I have 20 bucks? Oh, I wonder why you did that. She's like, what are you up to? Is your dad, what are you up to? Understand. It is something about charity, that charity, it doesn't, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. I don't know what came over me. They just said something and then I just lashed out. That's not charity. It's not easily provoked. Pride poked. Yeah. Everyone that has a middle child, middle sibling knows everything about being prodded and poked because that's what we do best. Middle children, we know all the buttons because we're right in the middle. We got front. The older sibling, man, they're always, right, Pastor? Anyway, we need to understand that prod, poked, it's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Understand, guys, we need to be adding. It's simple addition. Do you want to have the touch of God upon your life? You want to be the man of God for your family? You want to be the man of God for the church here at Shasta Baptist Church so that you can encourage your pastor, so that you can challenge your pastor, so you can pray for your pastor, so you can protect and guard? Then we need to do some simple math. But we need to add some things in our life. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all of those different things that are in our life, we just need to add to them. What have you left out? Subtraction. Subtraction isn't in the Bible. Addition is. What have we been subtracting instead of adding? Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for today. Father, these men listened so intently this morning. Thank you so much for them. Father, thank you that we can add some things in our life to strengthen our faith and our knowledge, temperance, all those different things so that we can be the men of God that we should be in our lives, Father. We love you.